Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
It is time now for the bigger picture. We start off with U.S. Labor Department inflation in April accelerating at its fastest pace in more than 12 years. All this because you've got the U.S. economy recovery kicking into gear, energy prices jumping higher as well.
Well, the Consumer Price Index, which measures a basket of goods as well as energy and housing costs, rose 4.2% from a year earlier above expectations of a 3.6% increase, which triggered the global stock market turbulence.
Can we expect more volatility? Let's have a conversation now with Han Tan, market analyst at FXTM. Han, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me again. I hope you guys are doing well.
Not too bad, sir. Let's get into it. April U.S. Consumer Price Index. That's pretty much world markets this week. And we're also getting some mixed signals for the U.S. jobs market. You've got, you know, that demand there, but at the same time, you're waiting for these stimulus to end so that people will be pushed back out into the market. As an investor, what should I be paying attention to here?
I think it tells the investing community that the U.S. economic recovery, well, specifically the optimism surrounding that outlook, right, that is not a straightforward path. So we can expect more twists and turns in the markets, right? So it means that investors and traders have to remain vigilant about the latest developments surrounding the pandemic, not just in the U.S., but around the world, you know, especially now with the heightened risk of that K-shaped recovery that you often see in the headlines, right, whereby economies with higher vaccination rates, they are very much better compared to those that are still trying to free themselves from the pandemic, right? But yes, you know, I think the key theme that investors really have to look out for, or that's in play in the market, at least right now, is still that U.S. inflation outlook that you mentioned earlier, and ultimately what it could mean for the Fed.
All right, Han. Given the forward-looking nature of the market, though, they're trying to decide what the next Fed move would be. But what are some of the key signs that we should be looking out for?
All right. So two main things there. So you're basically filtering it through the inflation or the labor market, right? Because these two are arguably the most watched economic data points. Now, of course, later today, we've got U.S. retail sales, got industrial production, consumer sentiment. You know, so I think those data points also can help markets better frame their expectations for where the U.S. economic recovery is at. And like I said earlier, what that could mean for the Fed's timeline for easing up their support for the financial market. So having said all that, I'm inclined to lean towards the Fed's bias and pay more attention to what's happening in the jobs market rather than the inflation print, at least, you know, for the next couple of months or so. Because of that low base effect, I think we'll only get that better outlook on inflation in the second half of the year, whether it's actually transitory, as the Fed expects, or is it actually making a roaring comeback and here to stay, right? So I think, again, in short, for the next few months, it's jobs recovery first for me, then inflation, and of course, in between, it's anything that any of the Fed officials say.
And as a part B to your answer, right, are you expecting, or should we expect, more volatility? I mean, where inflation is concerned, we saw the tech sector get beat up for 3 days in a row. Now it's kind of bouncing back a little bit. But at the same time, Tesla losing 3%, nothing to do with tech, but the fact that they're going to stop allowing vehicle purchases using Bitcoin because of a whole climate change issue. All these interlinked issues, can we see more volatility? Should we?
Yeah, the short answer is yes. If, as you pointed out, anything like this week's price action is anything to go by, right? So, you know, what we saw overnight is that, yeah, the buy the dip impulse is still quite evident there in the markets. But I think overall, there's still a lot of uncertainty about that U.S. inflation outlook, right? So, you know, markets are very willing. I mean, they've shown really so far this year, they are very willing to test the Fed's level of resolve. Now, the Fed says that they're willing to tolerate an inflation overshoot, that they're no rush to adjust their policy settings and pull back their support. Markets, on the other end, are kind of like, well, we're not so sure about that. So there's this debate that's raging in the markets. Mm-hmm. And I think in the meantime, yeah, we could see investors readjusting their asset allocations more like they have in recent months as they shift their inflation expectations and ultimately, you know, try to preempt when the Fed's next move might happen.
All right. Well, a big part of the inflation story is the surge in commodities. Earlier this week, we also saw a record high for iron and copper prices. Can this climb continue?
Yeah, well, I think it's still too early to say that commodity prices have peaked. So, yes, I believe there's more upside because all the main ingredients for the rise that we've seen so far this year and really which stretches back to last year as well, all those upside catalysts are still intact, right? Because on one hand, you've got the global economic recovery that's underway, that's bolstering demand for commodities. Also, you've got governments with their respective fiscal programs that's being rolled out, and there's heavy focus on infrastructure. Certainly, Biden's plan is one of such plans. So they're going to provide underlying support for iron and copper. So I think as long as the global economy continues moving into the post-pandemic era, I think that should serve as a tailwind for commodities. However, having said that, on the flip side, like we're seeing this week, commodity prices are indeed sensitive to rising inflation expectations, right? So the idea that runaway inflation could actually crimp the economic recovery and that could dampen demand for commodities. So, with that said, I think, again, commodities, do they have more upside? I believe so, but it's not a straightforward climb.
So then gold is no longer, and really this probably is just an opinion question, Han. Gold, are investors looking at gold as your traditional safe haven asset anymore? It's down about 4% year to date. We saw how last year during pandemic, cryptocurrency was somehow a safe haven asset. I mean, what is going on with regard to gold?
Yeah, look, gold has had a tough time really since reaching that record high around August, September last year. And you're right to point out that their status as an inflation hedge, really has been eroded by some of these other non-conventional assets, right? Now, at the same time this year, because of those rising treasury yields that has given support to this U.S. dollar, so that is also standing in the way of gold climbing even higher. But at least it has been able to keep its head above that psychologically important 1800 level. That's a key psychological level, right? So that's one box ticked for gold bulls. We have been seeing some fund flows go back into those gold ETFs. So I think overall investors have to gravitate back towards that traditional notion, right, of using gold as a preserver of wealth, especially during times of fast inflation. And perhaps some wobbles in those alternative assets that you mentioned there earlier. If things start to get shaky or a lot more volatile there, then that could help restore gold's appeal, if I can use those terms. Right. So, long story short, those ingredients have to fall into place in order for gold prices to climb higher. But from a technical perspective, as I look at my charts right now, really the next resistance level is not too far off. I'm looking at the 200-day simple moving average, so I'm keeping an eye on the 1846 level.
All right. We've been speaking with Han Tan, market analyst at FXTM. Han, as always, we appreciate your time. Take care and stay safe.
All right. Have a good weekend.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.